This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Every Tuesday, right at 5 o'clock, Austin Eckler joins us on Grant and Danny. Thanks to our friends at IT Cadre. He provides trusted insight. He is our trusted insider. Presented by IT Cadre, where DC Sports Insiders share their exclusive perspective. Austin is with us right now on The Fan. What a day for Commanders fans. Marshawn Lattimore traded to Washington at the deadline, one of the biggest splashes any team made today. What do you make of the move, Austin?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Good to be back on. Yeah, you know, this is something that is on the administration side of football. You know, something that I kind of have to watch from the sideline on. Obviously, as players, we don't really know what's going on the GM side of the conversation. So, when you see moves like this, obviously it impacts your team, and it's interesting to kind of hear all the takes on it and know if it was worth the picks and things like that. But all I know is, you know, I'm hoping that he comes in and is a great teammate and adds more to our culture and what we've been building.
Yeah, and here, I don't want to lead you to an answer, Austin, but, you know, here's me just pudgy slob. Here's how I would view it. Like, if I'm you guys, I'm going, we have kicked ass. We have had an unbelievable nine games. We're 7-2. We're doing really, really well. Here's your reward. Here's like somebody that's going to raise the talent level, that's really, really skilled, and we're willing to sacrifice future things that you guys don't necessarily care about. Like, you're not that concerned about a fifth-round pick this coming year. You guys are playing games this week, so I would think of it as almost like a reward. What are your thoughts there?
I don't know about a reward or anything like that. I don't want to, you know, take the human side out of it. I think it's more so for us. Look, we have a great thing going, absolutely. And we are trying to win now. Like, that's the mentality of the NFL. You got to win now. You know, if you're thinking about, oh, you know, down the road, maybe as a GM, that's something you can think of. But as far as us as players, as far as me on this team, like, we're trying to win right now, because I don't know if I'm going to be here or be around for next year, right? It's not ever promised. All I know is I have this opportunity right now, and if we have guys that can come in and help us win and do that right now, then, look, that's a good move. Let's get it done, and let's get these guys in the locker room.
Along those lines, you mentioned the GM. I mean, what does it say that clearly Adam Peters thinks enough of you guys as a contender to be a buyer? You know, he could have just stood pat, or well, around here, I mean, you don't have to experience this in the past, but we did. It's been a lot of years as a seller, and that is not the case anymore.
Again, hey, this is some of the other side, right? We have a lot of new things going on. Obviously, Adam Peters is one of those. Some new ownership as well, new head coach. And so those are the decisions that they're going to sit down and they're going to look at the team. They're going to see, where can we use help? Is this going to affect us in the long term? But in my opinion, these guys want to win now as well. Like, they're in the place where, yes, we want something for the long run, but guess what leads to that? Well, we need to have success now, because if we don't, we're not here in the long run. You know how this league works. So, hey, let's show some success. Let's do everything we can to win now, and you'll deal with later.
I'm sure you guys at some point, you and Marshawn Lattimore, you've played against each other a bunch, but I would think with Pro Bowl pass like you guys have, and just the quality of the production over the years as stars in the AFC, you guys had to have crossed paths. Do you know him at all, or do you recall playing against him?
No, I don't know him at all personally. So it'd be good to see kind of, you know, what kind of personality he is, what kind of team guy he is, and bring him into our culture. I know, regardless of where you come from, coming into the locker room, what we have that we built over here, our culture, you're gonna feel that's different. I've had other guys be like, "Man, this is different here." Like, it just seems like everyone's like so into it. Like, everyone's reactive, everyone's, you know, responsive, and kind of has this aura of like welcome to the squad. And it's just a culture that's really fun to be a part of, really fun to play around. And you know, Dan Q is definitely the center of that, and continuing to make sure that stays the case. And the new players coming in are going to be, you know, going to be shocked, I think, coming in and seeing just like how great of a culture we've built over here.
Austin Ekeler with us here on G&D. And that's what I was going to ask you about, Austin. Like, how is that almost more important than what happens on the field? Is that somebody kind of fits into the program that you guys have done such a good job building here?
I mean, that's definitely part of it. You know, you obviously want to have people that are bought into the game, absolutely. And that comes down to your culture, right? Being around the people that you want to play around, being around guys that you respect and things like that. And it takes time to really build that up. And so it's tough being a guy that jumps around. Even just me coming here for the first time and that wasn't really established yet. It was like, okay, like, how is this going to go? Like, who's who? Like, how does everything work? Like, it takes time, but we're in the middle of the season, so it's kind of got to be expedited here. Where it's like, hey, man, like, we need you right now. Just know we got a good thing going, so let's buy into that, you know, ideally.
Austin Ekeler is with us on Grant and Danny for his weekly Tuesday appointment presented by IT Cadre. Let's go back to Sunday's win over the Giants, 27-22 victory at the Meadowlands. We find out about 90 minutes before the game, and we all saw the video of B-Rob after his workout talking with Dan Quinn, and they kind of make the decision he's not going to go. So soon thereafter, presumably, you get the word. And then your role changed a good bit because you were kind of bell cowing it in the first half, getting almost all of the work. When did you find out, and what changed for you in terms of, you know, the game plan versus the execution on Sunday of some of the play calls?
Yeah, I think, you know, for me anyway, like, I always prepare like I'm going to be starting, you know, whether Brian is here and he's starting, or whether it's, you know, me and him on the field. Regardless, Austin, I am starting. That's my mindset, looking myself in the mirror. So I make sure I know every single role. I know all the spots I can be in. You know, I'm split out wide sometimes. I'm all over the place. So for me, it's a lot of studying, making sure I'm ready to go, regardless of what happens with the injuries or anything like that. Brian, you know, obviously was a decision that was made. Hey, you're going to sit this one out this week. You get yourself healed up. And so for me, it wasn't really a mentality shift. Like, I mean, I've been starting for the past 4 years of my career. So I've definitely been in that role before where you're starting out there. And even this year, you know, I've been getting a lot of playing time, even though maybe I'm not considered one on the depth chart, like, definitely getting a considerable amount of time out there. So as far as the game plan changed, I'm not really sure if it really changed at all. You know, I think I'm capable of running a lot of the plays that we had in the game plan. Obviously, Brian is as well. And so I think it was one of those things where, hey, let's run with it. We have Chris Rodriguez now that kind of stepped up and got a few carries in there, another bigger body type back. Was super proud of him to get in there and make an impact with his reps. So it was cool to see, you know, that rotation that we continue to go, because I know I really am thankful for that after the game, because my body always feels better after that. So it was good to see, even, you know, with Brian, you know, send this one out, that we were able to put together a win.
Yeah, Austin, go into that 1 yard touchdown run. That was some grown man stuff right there. I think people forget, you know, despite the fact you're not like, you know, Derrick Henry's build, you got some goal line thump to you, dude. That was some grown man stuff.
You know, I've scored 71 touchdowns in my NFL career. So, you know, there's a thing or two to being able to get into the end zone. And for myself, fortunately, I have a very strong lower body, good contact balance, and down in the goal line is definitely where that can show itself out. Because, yeah, there was kind of an unblocked guy in the hole. I was able to bounce off of him, bounce off another guy, stay up on my feet and get enough just to get that 1 yard. And so that's a lot of the touchdowns that I've had even over the past careers, down that 1 2-yard line, being able to run through contact, stay up. I have a low center of gravity, so people think they can just thump me up high and I'll fall over, but then they don't realize that I squat 600 pounds and they're like, oh, okay, well, he didn't go down. What the heck? and so it's advantage for me.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's nice to have in your bag, the old 600-pound squat. Next possession, 4th and 1, 2-minute drill. Live when you get tackled, did you think you had it, that first down, or were you going, oh, that's close?
Oh, no, I definitely thought I had it.
Did you?
I didn't even realize they were reviewing it. I came out because there was something going on with my knee. I had to make sure it was all right. And they're, like, reviewing it. And I was like, oh, what the heck? Like, because when I got down, like, when I was down, I would, like, look down the line, and I was well past it. But obviously you can't really tell when your knee hits the ground. And so you don't know when in that series of falling that you're actually down. And so for me, I had thought I had clearly got it, but apparently it was closer than it actually came out to be anyway. So regardless, hey, they gave it to us, so we'll take it.
Austin Eckler, 38 touchdowns over 2 years when he led the NFL back-to-back years, to his point about having 71 in his career, joining us here on Grant and Danny. Kind of a weird question, but this is just my own observation. I want to know what you think about this. It seems to me like the way you guys rotate to an extent is like almost a hot hand thing. So like Brian Robinson a few weeks ago didn't play at all in the second half, and I'd imagine he was banged up, although he, you know, said he wasn't. But like you were basically the guy in the first half. And then in the second half, as you said, it became the Chris Rodriguez show, and he didn't really come off the field. There have been halves where Jeremy McNichols is getting all the work. More so than just like mixing everyone in when they're tired and coming on and off. Is that how they like to do it, or something to do with like the overall structure here this year with this staff? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, there's a few layers of methodology in there. I know Coach Lynn is definitely about the hot hand, which he's even said those exact words. Like, if you have a hot hand, I'm gonna let you run. Right? You let these guys let them go. If they're hitting the holes, they're getting seams. Like, keep that going. You know, you don't want to take that away from somebody. So he's definitely about that. But there's another layer on there as well of there's certain plays that are kind of schemed out for certain people sometimes, whether it's two backs, whether it's me on the field, whether it's someone else on the field. And so that also plays into the rotation, and we account for that, about having different types of body types, different skill sets in our backfield. So our scheme is also built around that. So that's where you see a lot of rotation. Is that, okay, this person's on this play. Hey, this person has the hot hand. Let's lead them in. You know, it might not be Brian. It might not be me. It might be someone, any of us. So it keeps a solid rotation really of all of us. And as I mentioned, like, it really helps because, you know, if you're hot, like, let you run. It's great. Coach confident. Boom. I'm rolling today. It's my day. If not, hey, we're still cheering you on, but you're still going to get action because there's still plays that are called up for you that you're going to have to be in on. So it's great to see guys having success when they're hot that day, but also know that you're still going to be contributing as well.
We had young Chris Rodriguez on the show for a few minutes yesterday. And we asked him about his big block that he had on the throw to Sinnott out in the flat. He had a great pass pro set. And he basically said, like, that was a play that he actually hadn't gotten to practice much at all. But he was joking that Anthony Lynn always says, if you need physical reps, like, you're in the wrong business. Mental reps are enough. But he gave you the credit. He said, I've been watching Austin Eckler on that similar concept, and he crushes it every time, and I kind of knew what to do based on that. I wonder, number one, I don't know if you have watched the film to the extent of, you know, what, when you weren't on the field, what was going on, but did you see the block he had and your thoughts on that he kind of gave you the credit for having him ready?
Of course. I'm not closing my eyes when I'm not on the field. Like, I saw the block, of course, man. He went there and chopped the heck out of zero. It was a great block. Opened up a critical third down pickup with Ben catching the ball running down the sideline. So, hey, when you're called upon, it's your opportunity. You got to make sure you capitalize on that, and that's what Chris did. That's a perfect example of a guy that hasn't been getting a ton of reps, took basically no reps the entire practice as far as with the first team, and then was called upon when it came to be his time. And it's one of those things where, hey, you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. But it's a lot easier said than done, because having the physical reps definitely helps you, you know, gather some muscle memory and some, you know, thinking reps. So it's like, okay, I know where to go. I can maybe tweak this that way. I shout out to Chris for going out there, showing out, you know, running that thing hard, and also, picking up some key blocks. Definitely a big contributor there at the end, especially in the 4-minute drive, picking up some first downs and getting us into a place where we can get into victory formation.
Austin, overall, the Giants came into the game kind of having struggled against the run. And I actually thought for the first few quarters, they were doing a really good job, seemed very committed to slowing that ground game down. You guys ended up finishing, though, with some pretty good rushing totals, as we're sort of used to. Did you sort of know as the game was going, we're not getting them now, but we're going to get them? Like, did you have that feeling like it was you were going to wear them down and kind of impose your will that way?
Well, when you go into a game, we obviously know, hey, this team has been struggling against the run. They obviously know that. So they know that we know that. They know that we're going to try to run the ball, because if they were playing themselves, what would they do? They tried to run the ball. That's how we think. So right. This is the chess match. Okay, so let's go out there. You never want to give up the run game. And we know that in our back pocket, Jaden has built-in run game even in the pass game, right? Because he can run and be explosive at any time. Not only that, but we also have him in our own run game as well. So our run game is very dynamic because it can be any play and it can be turned into a run play. So that's something that we account for as well, where it's like, hey, we're going to have a running game, but also we know our running game is also Jaden's feet when things start collapsing in the pocket, as they do time to time. And so for us going into, we want to continue to establish that because you don't want to be one-dimensional. If you get really one-dimensional, you start to get a light box, and then all of a sudden now it becomes hard to pass, so you got to make sure you're able to complement it so you can continue to do play action, stuff like that. So it's this whole hodgepodge of making sure you stay balanced. Because you get one side, you get predictable, you have more opportunities for the defense to exploit you and stop you. So you can never really give up on the run game entirely until it's like, okay, we have to throw and get ourselves back and we need chunk plays. So that's really the philosophy that we have. Whereas you, especially with Anthony Lynn as our run game coordinator, heavy run guy, obviously been coached running backs for a long time, and now being in the run game coordinator, he's going to make sure we have enough diversity in our runs. We can run pretty much at any time in the game. No matter what, we have runs for every situation. So that's where we come from a running standpoint. We're always going to have something up our sleeve where we can run the ball.
Great intel from Austin Ekeler. That's Trusted Insight from a Trusted Insider presented by IT Cadre. DC Sports Insider sharing their exclusive perspective is with us on Grant and Danny. Let's get an IT Cadre listener question for Austin. And it's sent in here. If Austin Ekeler wasn't playing football, what would he be doing as a career? We've heard about some of the other things you're interested in the past, but that's a good question.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually went to school for energy management, so I was a business major. So I was going to be working with oil and gas companies. I was going to be the middleman between private mineral owners and a gas company. I go to you. You own minerals. You can't produce those because you don't have a rig or anything like that, but we can. We'll give you royalty. So that was what I was going to do, and then I was going to use that capital to get into house hacking. I really wanted to get into real estate, start generating some money in the real estate business. So I was going to buy like a duplex or something like that, live in it, rent out the rest of the rooms, and start getting into a little bit of house hacking and house flipping. So that was my first option that I had on the table before the NFL was ever an opportunity for me. Then the NFL came to me about my junior year of college and was starting to look at me as a prospect. And so then I decided, I should probably start looking into the NFL. So I'm still heavily in the business world because that was where my roots were from. And that's what I'm really interested in. And then actually the NFL was kind of like I accidentally made it to the NFL, you know, like I was doing this one thing and then I was doing that well enough with my mindset and the way I pushed myself that it gave me another opportunity to be in the NFL. And then I chose that opportunity.
It's staggering how much smarter he is than us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, a dubious honor,
like,
but it's true.
Yes, playing in professional sports, smarter than us. I guess we have abs. We have better bodies, right?
Nope.
Oh,
yeah, no.
There you go.
Nope, not at all.
Either.
Not at all.
Oscar Austin wants to know about this brotherhood that everyone keeps talking about. He says, what's the brotherhood feel in the locker room that lets you change the franchise the way that you guys are?
Yeah. It's really hard to describe from an outside perspective because I think a lot of it is a feeling. Like you need to be in the presence of – even like here's an example. Like when Dan Quinn walks in – to our team meeting room. I've walked into team meeting rooms before and the head coach said, hey, what's up, everyone? Everyone in our team meeting room goes, says something out there. Hey, what's up? Like, yo. Like, it's just an eruption of like, oh, we're all here. We're all alert. We're all present. And it's little things like that that you notice when you've been around a couple teams where some teams are really quiet. This team is really vocal and bought into this kind of message that Dan has been putting in our minds of brotherhood, of being involved, of being having each other's backs, practicing the right way, of having a standard, calling each other out. He'll put plays up on the board. This is not the standard. This is the standard. This is how we get down. This is how we don't get down. That's what he uses, those phrases. Also giving us time, especially like every single Thursday, we have this recovery time. But it's not just recovery time. It's also a time where all of our chairs are set up in a circle. So we're recovering, doing these leg boot things. You know, we're in the training room. We're all spending time around each other. And so spending that time around each other. Now, when I come into the building, I know everyone just a little bit more because I spend a little bit more time with them. And so it's just a great feeling to come in with a smile on my face, like knowing that, hey, like this is a great place to work. Like we're excited to be here. We're excited about our coaches, how they take care of us, how they allow us to spend time with each other and actually put the effort out there to make us have time in the schedule to spend time together, and then talk about on game day, hey, this is how it's got to go down. This is the level of standard, because you still have a mentality, you still play a physical game. Yeah, it's all brotherhood, but when it comes down to game time, it's time to bring that brotherhood to the field. And we talk about what that standard looks like. And so all of these things are us buying in as players to what is being presented to us and making sure that we as leaders on the team also are preaching this stuff, making sure that we're holding each other accountable. And we have enough guys that are doing that, that when you walk in and when you feel on the team, you feel like, man, I'm really a part of something special. And so, like I said, it's a lot of it's a feeling, and it's about being around a lot of teams and feeling when it's not there and when it is there. And this brotherhood that we have here is very special, and then, it doesn't come around that often. So great place to be playing right now.
Austin, excellent as always with us, man. Keep it rolling, dude.
Awesome. Appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
See you, buddy.
There's Austin Eckler on Grant and Danny with us on The Fan. Our weekly appointment with him presented by IT Cadre. IT Cadre's trusted insight, helping leaders of the nation's most important organizations understand complexity, align efforts, and make the best data-driven decisions to achieve success. IT Cadre, your vision, our purpose. He's so good.
Yes, he is.
Love having him on
yes,
the show.
Yes, he is.
What is Washington's defense going to look like now with Marshawn Lattimore in the fold? We'll get into that next on The Fan.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Prescott throws and the pass picks, intercepted by Lattimore. And the play made by the Saints defense. John Keim will join us coming up in about 30 minutes on Grant and Danny right at 6 o'clock. Covers the Commanders for ESPN. We'll get his thoughts on Washington adding Marshawn Lattimore for the stretch run. The second half of the season, they've got themselves a new starting first cornerback on their depth chart to go one-on-one if they won in man against top wide receivers from the opponent. How much different is this defense going to be with him? Let's dive into that.
Hard to quantify in terms of, you know, it doesn't mean that no team ever gains a yard again. It doesn't mean that teams, that there'll be no change. But it'll be hard to see down in and down out. But it gives you more options, more comfort. I feel like, and it's hard to prove with that great data or having access to film, sitting there watching with coaches, it's hard to feel exactly that you're right about this, but you just kind of get the sense over days and weeks, etc. I think they think, and I think they know where they're weak. AKA, we're not going to be calling too many leave your corners on an island type plays where we're in bump coverage, where you're in press man with not a lot of help over the top. There's a lot of two deep shell, sometimes more so, maybe quarters coverage where you're backing off. You're going to give up those games like they did the first time they played the Giants to Malik Nabers, where you have double-digit catches. You're going to give up plays to Zay Flowers underneath. And maybe a couple times he catches and runs with it, but they don't want to give up over the top. They don't want to give up the highlight play on SportsCenter for the other team. I think now you've got more flexibility. Now you can maybe play that a little bit of press, maybe with sort of shade and help in one direction or the other, but I think you can blitz a little bit more. I think you can be a little bit more active when it comes to trying to create some pressure and havoc, knowing you got a security blanket back there, not in the form of multiple bodies in terms of safeties or quarters bailing out playing deep, but in terms of having one guy that can shut down another guy, one guy where you feel defended and secure in that area. The analogy I always use for defense is putting the fingers in the dam. That's one hole that you don't have to plug.
I think he's going to make a massive difference in select matchups. So far this season, there are only a handful of games, probably, tops, where he would have made a big difference. Against Tampa Bay, where you could have had him lock up Hall of Famer Mike Evans, who he's had some big games against. I mean, those two guys, as I mentioned earlier, that is a bird magic kind of rivalry. If you remember the phony version of it, the manufactured version was like Odell Beckham, Josh Norman. They would walk out with like baseball bats and try to, get under each other's skin, and they would get into fights. The real version of that is Lattimore Evans. It's been one of the great rivalries of that division for years. But that would have been a really big difference in the game if you had him in week one against the Bucs. I don't know that it would have mattered a whole lot in the two wins against the Giants because they're light on personnel anyway. They do have a really good corner in Malik Nabers, obviously, but they're just not that good offensively. They can't really take advantage of Washington's secondary, as we've seen, as they have scored 18 and 22 points in those two games. The Bengals game, it would have been great to have him. When you give up the long touchdown to Ja'Marr Chase, they got T. Higgins back in that game, who was a minimal factor. But getting both of those receivers going against Washington's secondary, that would have been massive. I didn't think they were hurting or wanting for help against the Cardinals. They were down by a million. Arizona was running a lot early anyway. But then the Cardinals were down by so much, you could just kind of drop 7 and 8 at a time and roam around in zone in the secondary. The Browns with Watson were such a broken disaster of an unserious offense that didn't matter. But the Tampa game, I will say, the Bengals game, I'll say the Baltimore game, when they could have used him against Zay Flowers, and then maybe more recently the Chicago game because they got three really good receivers. Mm-hmm. So probably four times this year it would have been a big impact. Moving forward, Eagles twice, Dallas twice because of CeeDee Lamb, probably the Saints game with Olave, and then I'd even say the Atlanta game. Mooney's been really good for the Falcons,
yeah.
And Drake London, bigger-bodied guy, I think St. Juice might match up well with anyway, but you can kind of figure out what you want to do there. I might put Lattimore on Mooney because he's a little more explosive and dynamic. And he goes down the field for chunk yards more so than London, who's kind of an underneath the war daddy for 4, 7, 9 yard routes at a time and tries to pick up some inbreakers. But they're going to use him in those matchups in a way that gives them a really good chance to have better outputs defensively. Danny, I think this is a huge deal. I think a bad defense, which was already improved enough to be kind of middling, somewhere in that 15 to 20 range in the league, or maybe 16 to 22. I think this makes them a few spots better again. I'm not sure how it works, with one player on defense and whether that is like a night and day overall difference.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's corner and when it's such a weakness and you upgrade it with this massive of a jolt, assuming he's healthy, I think this is going to be huge. I really believe that this is a game changer for them on that side of the ball. I really do.
It's not crazy to think that. I mean, the impact is outsized. I mean, you go back to over the years where you had that, and I'm not putting him in this category. These are gold jacket, greatest of all time type dudes. But remember, you pretty much, in the old school way of doing it, where there were two receivers on the field, right? It's always multiple running backs, multiple tight ends. One receiver one side, one receiver the other. You eliminated half the field when Deion Sanders was on the other side. He was so good at pass coverage. You were terrified. You wouldn't even throw it near him. You'd just go, half the field's eliminated. As a safety, it doesn't matter what the quarterback's doing. You don't have to look that way. You're not fooled by any kind of head fake or manipulating with your eyes. You're not bothered by that. You're looking at the other half of the football field pretty much, right? So that opens things up for everybody else. So even if Deion Sanders didn't have 10 interceptions, didn't have 11 pass breakups or whatever, the impact he has is still bigger than just him. It's like having a great shooter on the basketball team, right? Where it's not even about the shots he hits. It's almost about the shots that he doesn't even get to take because everybody's in his face. Other guys are open.
That's a good point.
It's the reverse there with defense.
I think there's something else to this too, kind of along those same lines. It's not just how he's going to play and how well he's going to perform and help them. It is also along the lines of what you were just saying, what you don't have to ask other guys to do now. Everyone's been calling in and talking about the other corners. Few people have taken their shots at St. Juste. But St. Juste, who has been moonlighting as your first corner now, as a corner two, think about the difference in ask when you are out kicking your coverage, when you're being tasked with something you're not capable of. When my wife goes away for the weekend and it's me with three kids and it's all hands on deck, I'm calling in reinforcements. I'm asking if my mom wants to come up and if my sister wants to come over. And I mean, it's just me and the kids for 72 hours and the wife's going to be back, right? I know I can't do this. I'm just trying to get by. That's all I'm trying to do. We're surviving and we're advancing. When it's normal and I'm asked to do the thing I'm capable of, which is, hey, I'm going out for a couple hours. I'll be back. I can handle that. When it's, hey, you got two kids today. Take them, you know, go have fun. We'll go to the movie theater. We'll go to the park. We'll go to the mall. I can do that. That's what I should be doing. That's what I'm built to do, right? It's to be the fun dad, the guy that's doing the activity. Benjamin St. Juste is not built to be the number one corner. So now you move him down, and he can play with more confidence, and he can be better. Same with Sandra still. He's a nickel corner being asked to play outside. The fact that he's played pretty well out there and then it's worked out, that's great. That's a bonus. That's not the point. You drafted him to be this really, really good player at a position. He gets back to being able to play. Just moving everyone down a notch that was being stretched and you were doing more than you should have, and now you have to do a little less. There's less asked of you. You get to do the role that you're actually here to do. I think that's the real game changer, honestly. Compare it to your own job. Compare it to your own life and just, I was doing my job and someone else's, right? Or I was doing something that I wasn't qualified for. Now I'm going to be asked to do the thing they actually hired me for. Awesome. That's what this move does for you.
Yeah. While you were talking about that, I think of a friend of my life who's going, I've been doing this one job that I wasn't supposed to be doing for, they said, we're going to hire someone imminently. And for almost 2 years, he's like stuck doing both jobs. And they finally just did that where they hired someone that they said they were going to do a couple years ago. And now he's doing what he wants to do. You know, but just to your point is, you know, over his skis or underwater, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, we've been through this a million times where, and I'm not saying this group in particular, but previous groups with bad management and bad front offices, you ended up not having it be the plan, but then you're stuck with Reed Dowdy for 14 games, or you're stuck with a Troy Apke or name somebody else that shouldn't have been in there in the spot that they were in, and they become punching bag for the fans. I'm not putting St. Juste on that exact level. He should be your CB2, maybe 2.5, maybe a 3, depends on the formation, right? Like, if he's your best, you're screwed. And they kind of knew they were screwed. They had a first-round pick that they didn't have any incentive for moving on from in terms of cap savings in Forbes. They weren't going to go big game hunting because there really wasn't that much available over the summertime in free agency. So you were kind of going, let's roll the dice and see where we're at. And this opportunity would have been available if the Saints hadn't swooned and nosedived and he was dissatisfied and now they're 2-7 and now this happened. Now this is on your plate.
How big of an impact do you expect Marshawn Lattimore to have in the second half of the season on into the playoffs, hopefully, in Washington? 800-636-1067 is the number if you want to join us. That's 800-636-1067. Plus, we got a huge show shaping up for tomorrow. I want to tell you who's going to be on the show in a couple of minutes. And at the top of the hour, John Keim stops by. That's right, at 6 o'clock. We're taking you up to 6:30 on The Fan. John Keim at 6 o'clock. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. He covers the Commanders for ESPN. Looking forward to catching up with him. Marshawn Lattimore acquired. He's the new top corner on the depth chart. How much of an impact will he make down the stretch? We'll ask John. How about this for tomorrow's show? In 1996, the Redskins started 7-2. That was the last time this organization had 7 wins in their first 9 games. A big part of that team that year was Ken Harvey. He will be on the program tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Very cool. Ken Harvey, man.
We'll talk to him about the 96 Redskins, and also, just as a member of the alumni, what he makes of what's going on this year with Quinn, Daniels, and the boys. Also, big guest alert. This will be cool. Manti Te'o will be on the show tomorrow.
How about that?
There was a point in time when he was the most famous
person in America.
I put a T on the end of famous for some
famousist
reason. He was one of the most famous people in the country.
Yeah.
Which means he's one of the most famous people in the world for like 3 days. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong at all.
Now, we won't bring that part up.
At all. That's not what we're here to talk
about.
That
was when he was getting catfished.
Yeah.
He's now just a guy who had an NFL career with the Saints.
He's answered all those questions. There's been documentaries. Like, that's been covered.
Right. If you want to know about that, watch the doc tonight on Netflix. But tomorrow, we'll ask him about playing with Marshawn Lattimore. He was in New Orleans with Lattimore. Also played with the Chargers who drafted him. Now an NFL analyst with SiriusXM. But looking forward to talking to Manti Te'o. I was trying to think of who are the analysts right now who played with Lattimore, and he was the first one that came to mind. So I'm fired up to talk to him on the show tomorrow.
So I've been trying to sift through and find some good data on this. There's not great data out there. Just bear that in mind. But this is the best I could come up with from Football Insights, the types of coverages that NFL teams are playing, and specific to Washington. There have been around 60% of varying types of zones with help deep, whether it's cover 2, cover 3, cover 4, cover 6, all principles keeping things underneath. They've actually played a larger percentage of some man coverages than you would think. Again, this according to Football Insights through, they haven't tabulated through this week yet, but it's through weeks 1 through 8. Around 29% cover 1, that's that only single high safety. Sounds like that's probably a blitz where you're bringing the heat or you're trying to get a play out quickly or something like that when you have a feeding frenzy type game. I don't think they're playing that against, say, like an Eagles defense all that often or somebody you're afraid to get beat deep on, whether it's the Bears or otherwise. But, you know, I wonder how that influences what you might do here. Some combination of there's man here, wherever Lattimore is, and zone everywhere else, or you fit him into your cover twos. I don't know the answer to that, how they're going to deploy him, but I think you've got more options now with better horses.
Let's see what the people think on how big of an impact Lattimore is going to make. Let's hit the phones. 800-636-1067. I should point out while we're talking about future shows. So tomorrow, Ken Harvey at 3, Manti Te'o at 5. On Thursday, we've got Mike Golic Jr. at 3 o'clock on the show. And Alex Smith makes his first ever appearance on Grant and Danny at 6 p.m.
How about it?
ESPN Monday Night Football's Monday Night Countdown. Former quarterback here in D.C. Want to talk to him about Jaden Daniels. Alex Smith will be on the show at 6 o'clock on Thursday. We're very, very excited about that. Under the phones we go. Reese's in St. Mary's on G&D. What do you think of the Marshawn Lattimore trade?
Well, that's an awesome trade because it makes St. Jude's better because now he got to go against the number 2. But I'm going to tell you who is going to impact the most. Forbes, and I'm going to tell you why. Because Forbes now get to play in the zone and ain't got to tackle the running backs, ain't got to do nothing. He can play underneath coverage, and they're going to help him out a whole lot. I think, and then we're going to maybe blitz the way we want to. It's going to make our defense awesome.
Forbes survived the deadline. There was all kinds of speculation first thing this morning that he could get traded. Supposedly the Commanders were shopping him. I'm not sure how much it's going to affect Washington, if we're being honest, that Emmanuel Forbes is still on the team because he just hasn't played a lot. And if you look at the snap percentage for him defensively, he's playing a 37% of snaps. If you go game by game, I mean, there are games where he's either inactive or he plays 4 snaps. Did have an interception a couple weeks ago. But if he's on the team, he's going to have a chance to help them at some point. You know your number's getting called. It's only a matter of time. The only reason it mattered really for me is I have a bet with Rick Snyder that Emmanuel Forbes and Jamin Davis, one of the two of them would last the entire season, and he bet that they wouldn't. And since they've already cut Davis, if they traded Emmanuel
Forbes... That's your last
Forbes,
best hope there, yeah.
I would have owed Rick Snyder lunch. So far it looks like for the second time in 2 years, he could be owing me lunch. Last year he made a terrible bet, by the way.
What was his bet last year?
Oh, it was so bad. Rick's my guy, but it was a bad bet. He bet that Jake Fromm would start a game at quarterback.
Oh, that's a tough bet.
I don't know why. It was like
that's tough.
It was like the week before the season started. And he's like, Well, they're going to use four quarterbacks.
Because that's what they always do. So I guess I see that.
No, it's not going to happen
this year. No, but I see that, though. I see the point. Like, the last 3 years, they've used four quarterbacks.
So this year's bet was, he said, Davis and Forbes will not last the full year. And I was just as confident. I'm like, there's absolutely no chance they'll get rid of both of those guys. Well, sure enough, they've cut Davis. And Forbes now can't see the field, for the most part. And as of about 10 a.m. this morning, I went, uh-oh. Let's go to Tony in Clinton, Maryland on G&D. What's up, Tony?
Hey, Tony.
Hey, this is a boss move, man. We still playing chess, man. We finally got a chess player in the building as opposed to the dollar store checkerboard we've been playing with for the last 30 years.
That's a good one.
Listen, he can't make it worse. He, like you said, he bumps everybody down the peg. And the first thing I thought about with Lattimore is he is actually known for head-to-head dogfights,
yes,
in-your-face football with Mike Evans. Who do we have that would you leave out there to go toe-to-toe, hands-on-hand, in-his-face dogfight with Mike Evans? Everybody we have on this team would get cooked, and that's a dude, four-time Pro Bowl.
Well, we literally saw in week one, field. He caught two touchdowns.
Yeah, he was pretty comfortable.
Exactly. So we got a guy that is notorious for getting under that type of player's skin, who's in your face, and he has the same mentality of what we're developing. He don't mind getting dirty. He don't mind tackling.
That's
he don't mind being
point.
Up in his face.
You need that.
He is. He fits the mold of the type of cornerback that
the Joe
I think they're trying to establish on that defense.
The Joe Love Witt, like, we arrive violently. You're not going to like us when the game's over. How we play is not for everyone. That's Marshawn Lattimore.
The way that we live is not for everybody.
Marshawn Lattimore is hated by every receiver he's going up against by the end of
Fine
the game.
Fine by me.
The way he lives is not for receivers.
Because we're going to run and put our bodies on people in a violent manner.
Grant and Danny here on The Fan. To me, that's okay. Not everywhere. You can't have 53 guys like that, but you can have a couple. You can have a couple where it's like, I hate him if he's over there, but he's wearing my colors. So let him bother people.
Jermaine's in Bowie on G&D. Hey, Jermaine.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, buddy?
I love the trade.
Did you think at all they gave up? Like, if I was telling you an hour before the trade, they get Marshawn Lattimore, would you have thought a third, a fourth, and a sixth with a fifth and Lattimore coming back? That wasn't a lot for you at all?
Not at all. He's a top-tier cornerback in the NFL. He's more like, for what I think, a second or third. So for us to get him, you know, for what we got him, I think that's a bargain. And he improves everybody. I mean, St. Juice didn't give us anything. With St. Juice, we could, if I could say, okay, he's not a cover corner, but he tackles. Yeah, I can't say that. Or, you know, he's got the second most pass interferences in the NFL right now. So he gave us nothing. So Lattimore is definitely an upgrade. I think he'll make a huge difference in the defense. I mean, we're 7-2 with a really bad secondary. So imagine with this upgrade, I mean, you know, we might be able to make some noise in the playoffs.
Well, they definitely can.
Appreciate you, man.
I mean, the matchups will determine that. Health will determine that. But at 7-2, they might have otherwise. And now, with a really good corner added to a room that needed it, they got a real good chance to. To your point, and we asked a guest we had on right after the trade today, Jeff Nowak, who's the sideline reporter covering the Saints, does he still have his fastball? He said, yes, he is still an elite corner when he's healthy. And I would agree with that point. He said he's worth a number one or a number two pick. At the peak of his powers, he certainly was.
Mm-hmm.
Four-time Pro Bowler, All-Pro. When healthy, he certainly is. Is he healthy? We don't really have a good answer. I don't mean can he play soon. I think he will be. But can he stay healthy? Can he stay on the field? And there was a little bit of baggage where he was at odds with the Saints. And because everyone knew they were trading him, that can lower value a little bit. Because he hasn't been able to stay on the field a whole lot over the last few years. He's missed a third of games, 20 of the last 60, 33% of their last 60 games. That's how you can get him for lesser value.
We talk about this with the Capitals all the time. A guy that's playing worse somewhere else comes here and plays better. It's always been the opposite with the Washington football, 53, Redskins, Mandos, WFT, where you played well somewhere else, you come here and you play worse. That's not the case, hopefully, with the new regime.
John Keim covers the team for ESPN. He joins us next on Grant and Danny.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas. This is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.